This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. This is anniversary month for the program. We started on the air 67 years ago. In fact, I was thinking the other day about the experience when I went across the river to Newport, Kentucky, and talked to the owner of the radio station over there and told him I was interested in buying time. I was 17 years old at the time, so he looked on me with a bit of suspicion and said, you'll have to sign a 13-week contract. And I said, well, I'm willing to do that. He said, well, do you have the money to pay for it? I said, well, I got the money to pay for the first one, and I'm going to look to the Lord to supply for the rest of it. So he was a little apprehensive, but we signed the contract and stayed on that station for many years until they changed their format. We had to move along, and we soon began to add other stations and are thankful the Lord has given us this privilege over the years to speak on many different radio stations and to be on stations overseas and on the internet. And so we just rejoice that we can continue to bring the message of God's sovereign grace. And as I've been mentioning this month, we have a special packet that we'd like to send to our listeners. Our theme is giving glory to God. And in this packet, we have a message that I have delivered on the subject of God's glory. And there is also a CD with 15 hymns that I believe you will enjoy. I'm going to let you listen to one of those now, entitled, When Thou, My Righteous Judge, Shall Come. This is one of the hymns you'll receive when you write for our anniversary packet.
Who's
I do hope that you'll take time to write us and that you'll request the anniversary packet with two CDs. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. We will appreciate it if you will mention the call letters of the station over which the program comes to you. I'm thankful to be on this station on a daily basis. Hope that you'll pray for us, that the needs will be supplied. If you can help us with the support at this time, we'll greatly appreciate it. It can also be a help if you will tell others where they can hear these messages from God's Word. And so in keeping with our theme of the month, our message today is entitled, The Greatness of God. We've been singing praises to the Lord, which we do each time we assemble here. It's a part of our worship. We are to be praising Him not only when we come to the assembly, but praising Him on a daily basis. I want to read Psalm 145, reading verses 1 to 4. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is great in power. Verse 1 says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. David himself was a king, but he recognized God to be king above all. And he is king today. He rules and reigns according to his sovereign pleasure. And then verse 11 says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. So he is referred to as being a king, and references made to his kingdom. And is it not reassuring and comforting to us to know that as king he does indeed reign? And he speaks of his power. He is great in power. We think about his power in creation. He created heaven and earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the animals, created man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Man can make some remarkable things from what God has already created, but only God can create. He spoke and it was done. He said, let there be light, and there was light. What power! It's beyond us to grasp how great it really is. And then we'd see his power as a deliverer. He delivered Joseph, who was sold as a slave, and exalted him next to Pharaoh in Egypt. When the children of Israel had suffered in bondage for 400 years, his delivering power was displayed by sending the plagues upon the Egyptians and bringing his people out. And what power was seen when they came to the Red Sea and God rolled back the waters and they came safely across? When they came into the Promised Land, his deliverance was once more enjoyed when he brought down the walls of Jericho, and the people were able to take it, though they were not a trained and well-equipped army. Then, at a later time, he blessed, providing everything that they needed throughout all of their days, just as he had provided for them in the wilderness, bringing water out of a rock, raining down manna from heaven. He continued to bless them as a people and sustain them. They had many fierce enemies, When they disobeyed, the Lord suffered them to be defeated. But when they were trusting Him and obeying Him and moving forward, they had victory. Even though they were small in number, God's power was repeatedly displayed. He cleansed the leper Naaman. He caused the axe head to float. Many marvelous things to be seen with respect to the fact that He is great in power. Psalm 62, verse 11 says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Power. Unlimited power. Great power belongs to our God. And then reference is made to His greatness in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scales, and the hills in a balance. Who's been able to do that? Who could measure the water in the hollow of His hand? Who could possibly comprehend the greatness of God? His ways are unsearchable. His ways past finding out. He's great in power. His power is not limited. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, with God, all things are possible. That promise should be very meaningful to us when we face our challenges and adversities along the road of life, and we reach places where it seems we're in a situation that there is no solution, to know that in the words of Jesus Himself, with God, all things are possible. Whether it comes to the healing of the sick, lifting up of one who is burdened and cast down and discouraged, one who is trying to untangle some of the difficult involvements in life, whatever the challenge may be, nothing is impossible with God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 says, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So Scripture declares that God is omnipotent, having all power. There is no power that supersedes His power. Satan has some power, but his is greatly limited. But God is omnipotent. Now the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is another one of those verses that can give us great encouragement. When we feel weak, when we feel it's difficult to go on, to know whatever the challenge may be, whatever I need to be doing to the glory of God, whatever is expected of me in His service, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But obviously when we look at that text, we have to realize that there are some qualifications to be made. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, he obviously did not mean I can do evil things, I can do corrupt things, I can do things when I'm in a rebellious spirit. Doesn't mean that you go to the Lord and say, Lord, here's an enterprise I want to embark upon. I'm running a little short on cash, and I'm going to steal from a few stores here over the next few nights. I'd like to have your help. Well, obviously God's not going to help you sin. So when He says I can do all things, there is a limit to it. I can do all things which are good, all things which are right, all things which are godly. And that qualification has to be made in several instances in Scripture when it's talking about all. It's not talking about all without exception. It's talking about the all that's in conjunction with the text, with the context. So, Psalm 115, verse 3 says, But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now this is important as we talk about God being great in power, being omnipotent, having all power, but he has done whatsoever he hath pleased. God has not done and never will do anything that's contrary to his nature. God is holy. So everything that God does has a purpose, and the purpose is in harmony with the holiness of his character. Never will there be any deviation from that. I was speaking to a group recently, talking about the passage on which I had spoken here not long ago, the text found in the book of Genesis when Sarah had laughed after God had informed her that she would have a child in her old age. And the Lord's response was, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And of course, we can say, nothing is too hard for the Lord. But when I was speaking on that subject, a man raised his hand and said, "Well, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it?" Well, he wasn't the first man to think that about that question. If you do a little research, you can see that that's been bantered around for hundreds of years. Somebody comes up with this idea that, all right, I'm going to stump you. I'm going to tell you that God can't do all things because he can't make a rock so big that he can't lift it. Or somebody goes on and says, can God make a two-sided triangle? Or can he make a square circle? Or can he make a married bachelor? So all of these absurdities are simply humanistic ways of trying to discredit what we say about God having all power. God doesn't do anything that is logically contradictory. He doesn't do two things at once contradicting each other. Whatever he does is good and right and in harmony with his character. He's certainly not going to do something to entertain the questions and doubts of unbelievers. What he does to his honor, according to his purpose, for the glory of his name. But we can certainly say there is nothing too hard for the Lord. That if God designs to do something, he's going to accomplish it. There's not going to be any human will that will stand in the way that God cannot conquer. There's not going to be any situation or circumstance that he cannot overcome, whatever the challenges might be. So, there are specific things, though, defined in Scripture that God cannot do. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's something God cannot do. Why? Because it's contrary to his nature. It's contrary to his holiness. God cannot lie. The book of Hebrews tells us he could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. When he made a covenant, he declared, this covenant is ordered and sure in all things. You can count on it. God has never broken a covenant. God has never gone back on a promise. Once again, that's reassuring to us. If we read a promise in his word, we can count on it. If he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so you need not fear what man might do, you can count on that. Now, there are seasons that you may feel forsaken. You read the writings of the psalmists, and you find that at various intervals, David and Asaph and others felt that the Lord had turned his back. And he might hide his face from us at a time because there's a purpose in it to humble us and to bring us to greater dependence upon him. But you can rely on what God says. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm not going to leave you. You may have your doubts and your fears. You may have your seasons of coldness where it appears to you that God has gone, but he says, I'm there. I'm not going to forget my promise. I'm not going to break my covenant. And then James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Here's something that's not going to happen. God cannot be tempted with evil because he is holy and he is perfect. God is good, so it's impossible for God to be bad, because over and over again throughout the scriptures, we're reminded of the goodness of God. God is good. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So the first thing we note in this passage, great is the Lord. He is great in power. And then secondly, greatly to be praised. This is something that we ought to enjoy doing, find delight in doing, do on a regular, consistent basis, not just when we're here in the house of God, but to make it a part of our daily life. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, right in the remaining part of the Psalms, the first verse of each one has something to say about praising God. Going to the next one, 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. It's good. It's something that's right. It's something that's beneficial. Many times when I have counseled with people who are struggling with discouragement, trying to find out what they read and what kind of music they listen to, I remind them that in the book of Colossians, we're told that we are to sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. I said, now there may be reason that you want to listen to some other music, but something I want to encourage you to do is listen to some of these things that are specified in Scripture, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And I'll give them a CD of some of the singing from our church services and others that we have and say, you need to listen to this. Listen to the words. The words of many of these old hymns have a great and tremendous message, reminding us of our help to be in the Lord. So praising God, singing praises unto our God is pleasant, it's comely, it's beautiful. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his host. Then you go to the next one. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. So the repeated emphasis upon the fact that it is good, right, comely, in order that we praise the Lord is certainly conveying a message to us how significant it is. How often do you praise the Lord? Now, generally when we think about prayer, we're thinking about asking God for something. And that's an important part of prayer. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But according to Philippians chapter 4, when we come to the Lord in prayer to make our request known, we're to make our request known with thanksgiving. So if we're giving thanks, we're praising him. We're praising him. We praise God for what he's done for us, for the material benefits that we enjoy on a daily basis, for whatever degree of health we enjoy. Praise him for the blessing of having touched our hearts by his grace. Praise him for the salvation that he has given us. Praise him for the benefit of his word. Praise him for his church. Praise him on and on and on. The list can go, and we should be praising him in our own prayers and devotions. And so it ought to be something that is done consistently. Verse 2 emphasizes that point. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day. I'm not going to just pray every day. I'm not going to just ask God's help every day. I'm not going to just make my petition every day. I'm going to praise thee every day. Every day, I'm going to express my gratitude. I'm going to come to God with a thankful heart. I'm going to enumerate as many things as I possibly can to let God know that I'm grateful for it and that I recognize His glory, His greatness, His power. We have so many evidences around us of the greatness of our God. Once again, I want to encourage you to write us and request this special anniversary packet with a message concerning the glory of God and a CD with 15 hymns that I believe you will enjoy. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Blessed assurance. Salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good.